All right, very good. We'll get started then. Welcome again this morning, another day, a new day to serve the Lord and to consider again what His Word teaches with regard to office bearers. This morning we're going to be looking at the doctrine of the office bearer and then the responsibilities of the office bearer. So I'd like to begin. We're dealing with the doctrine this morning, and to recognize the place of doctrine, I'd like to begin with God's Word. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll start with verse 1. This is Paul's word to Timothy, and he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So here's the responsibility. We're to be preaching the word, making known the word, announcing the word, ready in season and out of season, proving, rebuking, and exhorting with complete patience and teaching. Well, there's a sense of urgency, but he goes on to the urgency of complete patience. It's kind of a unique way of saying it, in the sense of let the Word do its work. Well, what work is the Word going to do? We're reading from 2 Timothy 4. And here, Paul says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Part of fulfilling your ministry, part of the responsibility that we have is to have this grounding, this foundation of sound teaching. If you turn with me over to 1 Timothy 1. Now turn back to 1 Timothy 1. There's a connection here, and I'd just like to consider this as we're looking at doctrine this morning. 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers. And so he goes through all these classifications of immorality, but then notice how he kind of summarizes everything and reviews everything and says whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, that there's a doctrinal foundation that causes us to live immorally, and it's a misuse of the law, but it's also a misuse of the doctrine. Sound doctrine, which is in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. So there's a doctrine that goes with the gospel of God which can counter all the ungodly passions that we need to contend with. One more reference just as we begin this morning before we open with prayer. Turn with me now further back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll begin reading with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy destroy strongholds. We destroy, and notice what he says here, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is what we call theology. It's knowing God. Theology is designed to know God, and that's part of our doctrine. Whatever raises itself up against the knowledge of God, every lofty opinion, every argument, that's what we're contending with. That's why the doctrine of the office bearer is so important. We destroy arguments in every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. We can have a particular confidence in the truth of God, that God's truth is going to prevail, that the teaching of God's truth will counter all of his enemies. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. There's a relationship between doctrine and life, doctrine and obedience. We live out what we believe. Everything we do is an expression of our theology and what we know about God. And that's why there's a particular need for us to examine this morning the doctrine of the office bearer. So that's what we'll be looking into. Let's open with a word of prayer now. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time to get together. We're thankful that you give us this opportunity. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us in this. We pray that you would help us as well to consider what your word is teaching. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity. We're thankful that we can go again to your word to understand the truth, but also to be encouraged and challenged by your truth to know how we are to think, to know what we are to believe, and to have what we think and what we believe form and shape and direct the way we live. Strengthen us in this and help us, Lord, in all of our walks of life to know you and to love you and to serve you. We pray that you'd bless our time, give us strength for it, give us clarity of thinking and speaking as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Very good. So, when we talk about doctrine, we need to again understand that the way Scripture speaks about doctrine is what's in your heart, but also what's in your head. That there's an other focus in doctrine. That there's an objective. There's something that needs to be believed. There's an object of truth. So turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude is the second to the last book of the Bible, Jude verses 3 and 4. There's only one chapter in Jude, so Jude 3.
The word doctrine, is that you mean doctrine just like
a
Christian teaching?
Yep. In the Bible, doctrine is teaching, or teaching is doctrine. So it's what we teach. Oh, it will be a complete set of beliefs, because what Scripture teaches is a complete set of what needs to be believed. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yeah, that's correct. But it's also systematized. So we can say, what does, and we'll look at that in a few moments. What does the Bible teach about itself? What does the Bible teach about God? What do we know about God? What does the Bible teach about man? And we can systematize it and go through the Scriptures and say, this is what we know about man. And that is doctrine. And that's kind of what we're looking at here. That's what Jude 3 is dealing with. So that's one aspect of it. And so that's an aspect of it. So Jude 3, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, so that's talking about our experience. Jude wanted to write about their common salvation, a common reality of what Christ had done for them. He said, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, when Jude says this, Yair, I think this addresses your question in the sense of, there is, faith is the subjective, it's what I believe. It's my belief. Everyone has this sort of a belief in something. Everyone in that way has faith. But there's a true faith and a false faith. Well, how do we identify what is true and what is false? How do we understand, how do we evaluate that? Is my faith true? Well, part of that is not only looking internally, but looking objectively to God's Word. Well, what does God's Word teach? It needs to fall in line with the standard of God's Word. So faith has this criteria. That's why he says to contend once for all, or to contend for the faith. It's the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. That's the to contend for the truth that is found in God's Word. That is what we're believing. Okay? Does that help clarify things? So we can speak of faith as my personal belief, but there's also the faith which all God's people are to believe. That's this faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. It's the certainty of the work of Jesus Christ. It's the reflection of who we are as sinners. And we'll get into that in just a moment. So there's that dimension of it. But there's also the fact that we need to be believing. Now turn with me to Romans 12. There isn't just this set of teachings, set of truth that we need to just like bobbleheads nod our head and say, yeah, we know that's all true. We do need to do that, but a biblical faith is more than that. And that's where Paul's appeal is here. That this doctrine, this truth, this objective content of our faith needs to be shaping, molding, redirecting our lives, our thinking, our understanding, our view of everything. We need to be shaped and fashioned by the teaching of God's Word, not shaping and fashioning the teaching of God's Word to fit our desires. That's the danger that we live in. So Romans 12, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, and this is to the Christians, this is an appeal to brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, and Paul in the book of Romans has traced out these mercies, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. There's a relationship that's involved in with God that's found in how we come to Him as a living sacrifice. But then he goes on, do not be conformed to this world, or to the pattern of this world. You don't fit the mold. Don't follow into that mold. Don't let the mold shape and fashion the way you think, the way you live, what your expectations are. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In the Bible, the way to the heart is through the head. Often we think, well, there's the head knowledge and the heart knowledge. There's the head experience, the heart experience, and we need to have both, and we do. But biblically speaking, the way we shape people's hearts is by the renewal of the mind, by thinking differently, by learning to think biblically, by learning to understand biblically, by learning to interpret biblically, by using the Bible as the lens to evaluate everything. You know, we're always evaluating, we're always processing what's going on around us, either to avoid it or to embrace it or to encourage it or to despise it. Well, we need the Bible, we need the faith that was once for all given to the saints directing how to do that. So there's this, and that needs to affect us subjectively. So this truth needs to be renewing our minds so that, and Paul goes on here, so that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's actually a beautiful challenge that God's Word lays out for us. Know the teaching of God's Word and then put it to the test. Test it. If this is God's will, prove it. Prove it, and you will see that it's good and acceptable and perfect. You see, it's not just knowing it, it's trusting it. Testing it. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. You may see that, yes, this is God's will, and it is good and acceptable and perfect. So that's what we're called to do. Now, what I'd like to do next, I'd like to split into two groups this time, and I'd like you just to put your heads together. And in doctrine, in understanding Reformed doctrine and the doctrine of the office bearer, there's various concepts, there's various areas that we understand the teaching of God's Word. It's comprehensive, it covers all of life. So it's dealing with the Bible. It's these seven areas here: the Bible, God, man, Christ, in which redemption is accomplished, salvation, in which redemption is applied, the church, and eschatology, or the end times. So I'd just like you to get together in your groups and just put your, I know it's early in the morning on a Saturday morning, put your thinking caps on, and don't let the fog out there infect the fog in here. Let the light of God's Word shine, and open your eyes and the eyes of your mind, and just talk together and develop. Okay, if someone would approach you on the street and say, tell me what you believe about the Bible, what are you going to say? Or, what do you believe about God? What are some of those essential core things that this is what we need to believe about God? Okay, so just take maybe, well, there's seven areas. Should we say 20 minutes? Just go through this. Maybe split, let's see, that'd be six and six. Oh, that works out very well. Just split the two groups there and there. And we'll get into that this morning. So go through that, and then we'll have a review of that. That would be good.